With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Tonight, we have special guests. Everyone sit back and enjoy, because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday, and that means it's time for...
Yes.
Hello, everyone, and everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday. It's Michelle's birthday week.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
Let's kick off the show with a little Christmas music.
Rocking around your Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring.
I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas to all of my listeners. Thank you for the great year, and I thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Merry Christmas to all of the Manic Monday Show fans. Thank you all so much for taking a little time away from the hustle and bustle of the holiday season here on this December 23rd, 2013, to share a little time with us on the Rad Reality Show Network. And, of course, the hostess with the mostest, Miss Michelle Costa, who hosts the Manic Monday Show each and every Monday year-round, has an epic show, a Christmas present to all of her fans, if you will. She has the winners of this season of The Amazing Race, Amy and Jason, and I can't wait to hear her interview them. So, as most of you already know, tonight's co-hosts will be myself, Jerry Garcia, and Paul from Minnesota. So let's say hi to Paul and see how he's doing up there in Minnesota, and then we'll bring up our wonderful host. Paul, how you doing up there in Minnesota? I know it's cold up there.
You took the words out of my mouth, Jerry. It is insane. It's supposed to get down like 15, 16 below overnight tonight and like worse, you know, wind chills in the 30 below range. So it's like 5 minutes before you get frostbite on your nose. And the other thing I have to share with you, you'll appreciate this, Jerry, because we're both night owls. My sister asked me to take her to the airport because she flew out to Denver to spend Christmas with her daughter, my niece. And my sister said, please, can you come and pick me up at 5 in the morning?
OMG.
I have just finally today, I think I've recovered. Yesterday was a series of, you know, a bunch of naps and just can't get myself, just now getting myself back in the groove, so to speak. But, yes, it's cold.
I can imagine. I can't, those temps are just not nice. I'm ready for spring already. But let's move on with the show and bring up our beautiful, wonderful Portuguese princess host, Michelle Costa. How are you, sweetie?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for the birthday, Ron, little segment, because it is my birthday before we have our next show. So I will be turning the lovely 21, I mean 22,
yes.
So I can drink legally. 22. I will be turning it on Sunday. Yes. I will
Happy
be 22
birthday,
on Sunday.
Michelle.
Thank you. I mean, 22. I can't even believe it. It's been like, it's like, I feel like I was just driving yesterday. And so I'm just super excited to be on the road as like a veteran. Oh, God. Yeah, oh, God. Super excited about tonight's show. First off, I just want to say hello. It's like the pre-Christmas Eve bash, right,
oh.
Terry and Paul?
That's
aye,
right.
Aye. Did you guys all get your Christmas shopping done? Because I'll tell you what, I'm so bad at it. I get more Christmas shopping done for myself than I do for anybody else. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen.
I'm so far behind this year, Michelle.
I suck at this Christmas shit. Excuse my language. I suck. Cherry, how are you on your Christmas cards?
I'm usually really good. This year, I suck too. I don't have any of my Christmas card list anymore, so I've lost all my addresses. And I mean, my mom was in the hospital for a week. I just got her out late Thursday night. Friday rolls around the very next day. Rich goes into work. 2 hours later, he's coming back home because he's really sick. And so he's been homesick ever since. And he just went into work today, but he has already called me and told me he's coming back home early. So he's still not feeling well. And it's just been like, cray, cray.
Yay, caramba. Cray, cray, cray. What about you, Paul, up in Minnesota? I mean, I'm hearing that the temperature is down. Like, it could just freeze off your sack, if you know what I mean. Hopefully, Santa has like this type of like defreezing mechanism that defreeze sacks. So how's your sack up in Minnesota?
Never would have gone in that direction, Michelle.
So your sack is frigid.
moving on from that subject.
Have you seen that commercial?
Paul's sack is frigid.
Have you seen that commercial?
Which one? Where Paul's sack is frigid? Please tell me more, Cherry.
It's the one where all the guys are lined up and they're wearing Jackie shorts.
They got bells.
And they're they're doing the jingle bells.
Paul, you got
the
bells in your sack? It sounds like it's a jingling, but it's like a frigid jingling. We want to make sure Paul's okay up in Minnesota. Jingle, 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 Paul.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think actually the building throughout the voice waves have been heating up Paul's sack.
On that subject, Cherry did inform me when the Bare Ease product arrived, and I told her absolutely do not send it up here. It will get thrown in the trash. So
you're such a bitch, Paul, because I received mine, and I have been using it without even getting the
wax
stripping mechanism. Yeah, the stripping. I've just been using it because I just figured, screw it. You know what? I'm not letting this mechanism go to waste, though I realize that I need to utilize it by getting my thing ripped apart. So I have chosen to just wear it, and I'll figure it out after. And I think you're a poor sport, Paul. I'm wearing it. Why can't you be wearing it right now? I mean, I'm wearing it as we speak, and it's comfy. And
I told him that she sent me one for Paul,
right,
and I'm going to forward it on to him. And he has to participate in our challenge.
He would actually have that couple pieces of layer, you know, because I'm thinking layers for you right now, Paul. Layers, layers, layers. And why shouldn't you have the Bare Ease layer on the sack of Santa Claus that you're sitting on? That's probably frozen right now, and you know, I'm so glad that we do not have our guest on yet, because they would not know what the hell we're talking about. And you know what, we don't know what the hell we're talking about either. Though Paul's sack has been frozen, the frozen sacks around here have been thawed out to about 70 degrees. We got up to 70 flipping degrees. Can you even stand it? And all I know is that my birthday is actually the 29th of December, so it's going to be on Sunday. So it's going to probably be negative 70 just because I'll be out at the Pats game. Oh, what a great intro to take this to Let's Talk Sports for a quick couple of seconds. And, oh, my God.
Who do they play?
Oh, God. Well, I know we play the Ravens this week. We did. We sure did. Oh, good God almighty. And I don't know if the Ravens showed up, but I'm sure they found out what happened. Their sacks might have been frozen too, Paul. Can you talk about that a little bit, seeing you're the frozen sack expert?
We had a very embarrassing defeat. And then I thought, okay, I got to find out how the Pats did, because Michelle will want to talk about it.
41 to 7.
That was about
just in case you didn't hear, 41-7.
We went and played the Bengals, and we got beat by that much too.
Ouchie, your sack must be just irritated. You don't want chafe to happen. We want moisture. So they have this new thing called Vaseline spray, where you don't even actually have to, like, take, like, the bottle and tip it over. You just literally spray it on the area of impact or it will be impacted after Whisperaid, I should say. This has turned into a sick, sick Santa joke, Paul. I can't even believe you've kept this going on for this long. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm being abused.
No, your sack is being abused. Put the two and separate them. That's not right for you to throw that in me and Cherry's face. And we have actually formed an alliance of against your frozen sack. And we've made a final two deal. And we just want you to know so that when you go into the jury's sacked frozen house, that you know what you're in for. Whoa. I just played Big Brother without Cherry realizing she was in it. Cherry, how do you feel about this? Are you excited to give me final two? I love it. She doesn't even care. She said, I'm all in. Good God. She doesn't even know what all in is for until she realizes by the end of the show what all in. Anyway, you guys, we have such a fantastic night for you guys. Besides it being the pre-eve of Christmas Eve, well, the Did I put my pre's in there? Yeah, I did. We have Amy and Jason from The Amazing Race, the winners. Oh, yeah, by the way, they're my friends. Hi. So I'm going to be drilling them with questions that I asked them before, and then I'm going to ask them now.
They are on our switchboard.
Shut the front door. I love, see these early birds? I love, oh, actually, it's not early. Okay, maybe we went on our little frozen sack tangent for a while. And Amy and Jason probably just want to get to the program.
Let's bring them up,
Miss Cherry.
Amy and Jason, winners of The Amazing Race. Thank you so much. You're on with Michelle Costa. How are you?
Hi.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my God, Miss Amy and Jason, it's been like maybe a month and a half since we got to see each other, correct?
Yes.
Well, congratulations. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I was obviously a fighting force to you guys. But I'll say, Paul and Cherry, weren't Jason and Amy your, like, pick? Not because you're on Rhode Island side, right, Cherry?
Well, I was rooting for Amy and Jason early on into the season. They were just the nicest team. They weren't mean to anybody. They were sharing. They were caring. They weren't being, you know, mean to anybody. They were just a team that I would like to, you know, represent and would like to be like if I were on the race. And so
I was an
that's
influence.
How I always
I wasn't an influence to you, right? This is you picking them on your own, right?
Yes, because we actually do an Amazing Race show here on the Rad Reality Show Network. And so we chose our teams on that show as well. And they were just a team that we all really loved. I mean, everybody loved them.
Let me
everybody
just explain something for you. Amy and Jason did such a good job protecting their fame and fortune, and I kind of drilled Amy a little bit. Not drilled her too much, right, Amy? I wasn't too hard on you, but your can I just say a little bit that me and Amy have done a lot of modeling and stuff together. We've done an autism fashion show where I met Jason a couple years back because Amy's been doing it, and Amy is so beautiful and gorgeous and amazing, and I was like, so what's going on? She's like, they don't like us. They think we're boring. And I'm like, what? They think you're boring? I took so much offense to that, Amy. Do you remember me being like, I can't believe they think you're boring. And I figured that out when you won. You got me, girl.
Yeah.
Well, we weren't
that
boring, I guess.
Yeah.
She
came
back on
boring.
The show.
You kept telling me, oh, my God, they thought it was boring, and I'm boring,
yes.
And they're boring. Remember, Cherry, I was like, how could
she
say
so
that
offended.
To Amy, what do you think that they thought you were boring, or was that just your little ploy?
Well, I could see how people would watch the show and think, well, you know, Jason and Amy are not the most exciting. You know, we kind of rode along the second place finish. So just based on the editing itself, we weren't in first place, even though a lot of the time we were right behind first place. We were always running for first place. But we weren't the ones that were creating drama. We weren't really fighting with anyone. The one episode where you saw a little bit of that was when we were in Vienna, that we weren't able to do the express, the fast forward, and then when we got into the fight with Tim and Marie because of the stolen cab. But other than that, we were just really focused on the race. So because of editing and where we fell, they really didn't have much of a chance to show a lot of our personalities and how funny we really were.
That doesn't mean there wasn't drama.
Yeah.
There's always a little spark of drama, you know, on these shows, especially on The Amazing Race.
But luckily for us, there were other people that were more dramatic than we were that took the time on air.
Well, I would say you guys were a little dramatic. I mean, coming in second place doesn't mean that you're not first. I mean, it just, there's circumstances that happen. And we watched you guys, and I'll be honest with you, even if I didn't know you, Amy, for as long as I've known you, I would have still been a fan because you guys did play to the extent of, like, what it should be Amazing Race played. I mean, you guys were so helpful. And you know what? Looking back at it now, realizing that you guys won, and maybe somebody should have said, oh, you know, you guys shouldn't have helped. I think that I would have done the same thing. And do you guys regret that? I mean, even though you guys won, I think you guys, knowing you guys, would have done the same thing, correct?
Well, at the time we were helping, we didn't know we were going to win or not, so.
That's true. And it wasn't this big scheme that we were trying to carry another team along with us or anything like that, although it worked out. It just happened that we felt like we were a better team than them, and that's why Amy was able to help them, and we were still able to finish ahead of them. But
well, I'm just happy to have people that talk with me on the Ravioli show, Manic Mondays. I mean, hello, fellow Rhode Islanders. I'm so excited. Now that you guys won, that gives me a push to want to win Big Brother. I need to be back on because we got to bring another championship home to Rhode Island. How exciting is it to know that you guys have this little state without people realizing how much of a back they have? Amy, you've been in the limelight. Jason, this is like kind of new to you and you've been accepting it. Is this not amazing how accepting Rhode Island and kind of just being able to do whatever you want to do and be able to speak your mind? Because Amy, me and Amy talked a lot about her charity events and a lot of stuff that she's been spokeswoman to. So this is like a huge kind of pedestal.
Well, I think for me, it's it's a great audience to, and I'm very appreciative of the fan base and the communities of Rhode Island supporting Amy and I. And it's been a crazy trip, and to come back to such a big fan base and all that support, you know, means a lot to me, and I know it does a lot to Amy as well. So if we can use that and encourage other people, inspire other people to, you know, keep that Boston Strong kind of mentality and you know, give back to charities like Amy does, and she commits a lot of her time to that, and the world would be a better place. And hopefully we've been able to do a little bit of that on the race and prove to people that, you know, you can do things the right way and still come out on top. And not that we went into the race with that specific intent, but certainly we're the type of people that, you know, we're going to do that no matter what. And I think the true colors shine at the end of the day. It worked out great.
Sure did. I was going to ask you guys if I can borrow like a couple bucks, but now I know I can ask you guys for like at least $10. I'm actually doing good right now. I'm just kidding. Amy, do you want to talk a little bit about your back end? I mean, you have such a story. There's so much I can talk about, but what do you have going on right now that you want to address charity-wise or whatever you guys are doing?
Well, you've known me for quite a few years now, and I've been very involved with the Rhode Island Autism Project, or Autism Project of Rhode Island, for several years, and we've been doing that catwalk to campground fashion show, which is a fundraiser every single year, which takes place in October. This past year, I was very fortunate to have been nominated for the Man and Woman of the Year campaign in the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and I will continue the campaign into 2014. So hopefully I can get a few events up and running and raise some more money for leukemia and lymphoma. And, of course, every year I'm very involved with the Gloria Gemma Breast Cancer Resource Foundation, which is also a local organization. I tend to get involved with local organizations because I see firsthand who it impacts, which is really important to me. Other than that, just kind of taking it day by day and really still on cloud nine from this entire experience. And we finally just got home from a long trip of media stuff and reunions with the cast. And now we're just kind of getting ready for the holidays.
So are you ready for the holidays? I mean, it's tomorrow is Christmas Eve.
Ever,
I can't even believe it.
Is anyone ever actually ready? Exactly. There's always something. There's always something going on. So, okay, as long as you're spent with loved ones and those we consider family, that's all that matters.
Well, this is kind of weird because me and Amy were talking, and Jason, come to find out that you're my neighbor. Do you know that?
I am?
Yeah, she lives down the road.
Wow. I live a mile away from you. I live in the Cumberland-Attleboro line, and you live in the Attleboro-Cumberland line right by the little water reservoir. I live actually down the street. So we're like neighbors.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so you can come plow my driveway anytime you want. Listen, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to put a pitchfork in front of my driveway and be like, heck no. You can come plow it anytime. That is going to be my neighborly expression to you, okay?
Okay. No problem. We'll
you can do my front walkway as well. I mean, I will not be biased to that. I will give you my address later. And my birthday's coming up, so as long as I'm plowed out for my birthday, I'll be fine. Which I'd like to invite you guys to State Lounge on Friday. Oh. If you and Amy can make it, that would be fantastic.
Thank
plow
you.
Plow us out. Because it's going to probably be a blizzard. That's how my birthday rolls.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Now, did you guys spend the money yet? I mean, I know that me and Amy talked about you guys going away to so many places. And obviously, my favorite place that you guys went to was to Portugal. Amy, you talk so much about Portugal. Are you guys planning on going back?
Yes, absolutely. We're already planning a trip to sometime in the summer. One of my best friends is actually, her family's from Portugal, and we're thinking about going at the same time as her family is taking their family vacation. We actually just received the money in the first place we went to with our financial advisor and, of course, the accountant, because we want to make sure we're okay with Uncle Sam. And, orange and stripes don't really look good on either one of us, so that's not the way we want to go.
Ooh, because Rhode Island has that hashtag. We don't want any. We've had other amazing race winners.
Did you say hashtag or
no,
hashtag?
Oh, I love Richard. He's a dear friend of mine. So that's
I love and adore that man. He's so.
Have you guys paid your taxes? Let's just be honest. Like, do you want to give us your IRS contact? No, I'm just kidding. Now, you guys have been everywhere. What has been, like, the most exciting thing you guys have done since you've won? Like, where have you gone? What have you done? Because it's been nonstop for you guys.
I mean, I would say the trip to Hollywood was exciting for me. I've never been out there. Walking down Hollywood Boulevard was really cool, seeing the stars. And, being in Hollywood and getting recognized was certainly an exciting new thing for me. You know, people coming up to you asking you to take pictures. It was a pretty neat experience. So that was really unique. It was different. The weather was great when we were there. So what an experience! That was one of the most exciting things I've done after the race. But it was really great just to spend a lot of time with the cast. We had a finale party here in Providence, and a lot of our cast flew in. So it was really exciting to watch the final two legs of the race with them. And then we took a trip to New York afterwards, and we really, really got to generate even a tighter bond than we already had. And it seems that our cast is much closer than, in other casts in race history. But I just think it's due to a tremendous people. I mean, everyone seems so genuine. We're really all excited for one another. I think everybody played the game with a lot of heart and a little tenacity. And it was a what a wonderful cast and group of friends that we became. So that was some of the best moments for me.
That's great. So what is one of the most heartwarming things that a fan has said to each one of you?
Jason's birthday is in November, and I surprised him with a trip to Disney. And while we were there, as we walked in, we immediately were recognized, which I thought was really weird because there was a parade going on. And I don't know about you, but the times I've went to Disney, you wouldn't even recognize your mom if she walked by because there's so many people. And as we were sitting in line to go into the haunted house at Magic Kingdom, a family like tapped us on the shoulder and was like, "Oh my goodness, you're Jason and Amy from The Amazing Race." And we were like, yeah, so we took pictures with their family and the little girls and their family. And one of the things that they said, which really kind of struck a chord with us, is that The Amazing Race is their family time on Sunday night. And it was wonderful to hear because, you know, they loved the fact that we were playing, how we were playing the game. And they just thought so much of the show and of us as a team and, of course, of some of the other teams as well. And it was just great to know that, you know, families do consider this their family time on the weekend. And it was just really heartwarming for us.
And that's really a hats off to the production team, to the owners and creators of the show, that they've created a reality program that is still educational, exciting, and you
family
can watch
friendly.
It and family-oriented, which is really different, if you think about it, from a lot of other reality programs.
Yeah, from like,
you know,
Big Brother. Okay, great. Thanks for pointing that out, Jason.
I didn't say
thanks
it.
A lot. Okay, Jason, go ahead.
I mean, there's a lot out there that you wouldn't want your kids to watch. You know, I mean, you have all these other crazy reality shows going on that, you know, they don't necessarily
exactly.
set a good
example. I know what you're talking about. I understand.
So, you know, we were excited. I mean, from a family to come up to us and explain that to us was a heartwarming feeling, and it was nice to hear, you know, a different perspective from a family that they really enjoyed the race and got to watch it together on Sunday after dinner. So that was cool.
Well, usually families tell me that they're not allowed to have their kids watch unless they watch it beforehand. So, phew, it's a good thing because, you know, actually I was blocked out a lot, which was good because, you know, I had that Rhode Island thing going on. But you know what's so funny? I actually sent Amy a message and I was like, "Amy, I just saw you and Jason on The Soup." And I was like so excited about it because, you know, when you're on The Soup, it's like they're making fun of you, you have to laugh. I'm like, "Did you get to see it?" And she's like, "Oh my God, yeah, I did." I was like, "Did you love it?" She's like, "Yeah." And it was actually mostly of Jason.
Yeah,
and
it
was because
of
your accent, Jason. Finally, somebody else gets the accent part. I'm glad. What do you think about that? I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's why Amy liked it. She enjoyed it because she looked good, and I was just getting my chops busted the whole time. So. Yeah, that was. I want to send Joel. I'm going to send him a letter. But it was funny.
Oh.
You know, it was.
You
funny.
See how
we
he said letter? He said
yeah,
letter. I'm going to send him a letter.
Did he get a bag of coal for Christmas?
Yeah,
Joel's getting a bag of coal.
I'm going to pull some clips of you out of Big Brother, and we'll see what happens. We'll go
they already did that.
Listen,
they already did that on The Soup, and I got the third funniest person on the planet. So it's okay, Jason. As long as you can get me the second or the first, I'll take it.
Okay, I'll take it.
So, Jason, I wanted to kind of ask you, because Miss Beautiful Amy, a lot of people don't know this about Miss Beautiful Amy, but Miss Beautiful Amy was in pageants, and she's been actually top in the road show. I don't know if it was the same year I tried out for. It might have been the year before, but she was actually top five of making it onto the road show. And if anybody's from Rhode Island out there, you know what the flipping road show is about, okay? So Miss Amy has been in the limelight. So Miss Amy, what has been your view of Jason finally realizing what it is to take pictures and smile and cheese and this must be exciting for you to see this side of how he views what you've been going through all these years.
Yeah, Jay.
Good answer. Yeah, Jay. Like, what's up with that?
Yeah, no, but you know what? It's interesting because a lot of people think, oh, you know, it's easy. It's so much fun. It's easy. But in reality, it's not. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to be up and on 24/7. And it's for me, it's very rewarding. And people don't realize that it's just as much work as it is doing anything else. But yeah, it has been kind of weird. For me, just to get used to him not really knowing what to do or what to say or how to say it, to be not so much politically correct, but to not really offend people. And because I've been doing it for such a long time, it's second nature to me, and I guess I just need to be a little more patient with him as he's new in all of this.
So it's been a process, has it, Jason?
Yeah, it's such a struggle to work with.
I'm sure you're always asking for makeup, come fluff me. Well,
oh,
no,
yeah.
That's you bad. That's a bad experience. Word. Fluff is not a good word.
Yeah, fluff me up.
How was it to work with Tim and Marie?
They're awesome. They're so funny. They really are. They're in their own little world, and they're the only two people on this entire planet that understand each other. And you know, other than that episode with the cab, with the stolen cab, we were all pretty close. Like, I felt like Jason and Tim were brothers. Tim reminded me so much of Jason's brothers. It's crazy. So we all got along very well.
I think we made a connection with them on some different levels than we made with Travis and Nicole and some of the other cast members, because we're kind of – we have a lot of the similar characteristics with Tim and Marie. Amy and I both we're the same age, you know, approximately, you know, we're both kind of dating couples, even though when they were on the show, they were exes. So we have a lot in common with them, and we got to know them and have a lot of fun with them throughout the course of the race, even though we're both super competitive teams, and that's where that clash came from. We understood at the end of the day that it's a race, and we're both going for $1 million. We're not necessarily here to make friends. We're here to compete. So
are they dating again? Can you break that on us?
No, they're not.
Whoa.
Hey,
good
I'm
God. I'm glad you brought
that
up, Cherry. I didn't want to be a part of that, but are they?
They do a lot together. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes.
They
belong
the only
together.
One that understands.
Yeah, but they go to events together. They hang out. They don't live together. I don't know. That may be a secret.
They're so cute together.
Now.
I'll be honest. I'm rooting for them to be together because I don't, like you guys said, I don't think there's anybody else in the world but them for each other.
That's
yeah.
Probably true.
So I believe that too.
Do they believe it though? They're like fighting this like energy. Come to stop fighting
know.
The energy.
Yeah, I think Marie's got so much pride that she probably says that out loud. I don't know if she has a little inner feelings for Tim or not. I mean, at the end of the day, Tim's a really genuine guy. He's a great guy. And, you know, a lot of girls would love to be with Tim. But he's a little bit of a – I can see where Marie gets frustrated because Tim's a little bit of a drifter, too. He's kind of a, you know, spaced-out guy. So Marie's so focused and competitive, and you add that into the mix, you know, that's where the frustration comes in a little bit, I think.
Well, maybe being out of the race and then being involved in, like, doing these events together and getting to realize, you know, them being together without a race value, maybe they'll say, hey – I think they're cute together. I don't know. I kind of like them together. So I really hope the best for them. And it's funny
we'll keep
because,
you posted.
Yeah, keep us posted. Yeah, thank you. And was one of the things that me and Amy talked about a lot was Tim Marie. And Amy kept saying, well, if they win, they'll buy us a drink or whatever. I'm like, screw a drink. They owe you a lot more. They took your taxi, you know. I was really angry. You know, I should know better, realizing that this reality world that, you know, you can't disclaim anything. And it really irritated me that people thought that Amy and you were boring. I'm sorry, but it really irritated me. And Amy knew it. I was so pissed off. I'm like, I got to talk to somebody. I need to talk to them. Like, why do they think you're boring? Amy, do you remember that? I was really pissed off.
Yeah, you were. It was funny. But
I was
like to us, you know, we we're glad that we ran the race we did, and it is, as we at the end of the day, boring or not, we won $1 million. So
you won $1 million. So now what? Like, what are you guys' plans? I mean, I know you guys.
I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah. Well, they already did that. Do you remember?
They
talked about the family in line. But, like, I'm sure everybody asks you, when are you guys going to get married and everything? I'm not going to ask you that because I hope that you split the money down in between and whatever happens, happens. And I think that it's going to be beautiful, whatever happens. Can I say that? Is that cheesy?
Yeah. Yep.
Yay. Yay. I love how Amy was like, yep, yep. Jason,
no.
Are you there?
You said you weren't going to ask anything. You weren't going to say anything, so I didn't know.
I didn't ask like that. I just said you guys split the money down the middle, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, production does it for us.
You're indirectly asking if we're going to get married.
Yeah, I'm indirectly asking.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
So it's not 60-40.
You got two financial advisors, right? Right.
Well, we do now, it sounds like.
Whoa.
Well, no.
Would you like to take a caller?
You know, we're looking to do a little bit more traveling, you know, and maybe obviously we want to look to save and invest some of the money, but and also look to travel the world. I mean, it is a beautiful, beautiful world we live in, and I have never traveled it. I know I get a lot of experience having been in pageants and being around the world, but, you know, I haven't. So the race kind of opened my eyes to, you know, a little bit more excitement and me wanting a little bit more adventure in my life and exploring, you know, different countries and different cultures. And some of the scenery and things that we saw were just breathtaking. So it lights this fire inside you saying, geez, I want a little bit more of that. I want to spend more time in these countries. Because when you're on the race, you know, we're racing. We're not sightseeing. We're not taking in the sights, where we're not really necessarily enjoying the views, where we're racing for $1 million. So we didn't get to enjoy it the way we would have if we're on vacation. So that would
I think you guys should be able to experience that on your own level and do what you guys want on your own level. I know that it's probably put on a pedestal and people push you to get married and have babies and do it when you guys know it's right. You have the time to make everything right. Do it for yourselves, you know? And I think you guys both have a great head on your shoulders that you guys are going to do it right. And I'm so happy to be from Rhode Island right now. Woohoo! I got to be the one to win now from Big Brother. I got to be the one Big Brother winner now. Seeing
yes,
that there's two amazing race winners. Now, did you guys get to meet anybody else from Amazing Race when you guys had your premiere?
Yes,
or finale,
had,
I should say.
Yep, we actually invited a few of the former racers that we've been in touch with on Facebook, and a couple of them were able to make it down. Max and Katie from last year, the runner-ups, they came down from New York. Abba also from
I love him.
So he was in town, and a few more.
What about any Rhode Islanders? Did you guys get to meet Louie?
Yeah, Louie and Mike were there. They came by with their wives. And I'm trying to think of who else also made us very proud on the race. Whoop, whoop, go Rhode Island. And I think that's it that was able to make it that were former racers.
Well, I have to tell you that Mary and David from Kentucky, the coal miners from Kentucky, were rooting for you. They do our show here on the Rad Reality Show Network on Sunday nights right after the race is over. And they were so rooting for you guys, and we would. I was hoping that they were going to be able to call in tonight, but I know they have a
Jerry,
huge family.
Jerry,
and
I actually called and talked with Mary. She's still got some kids that are sick, and she's wrapping presents. And she said to pass along the hello to you two. And to tell you guys that you were by far David's favorite couple on the show. So that
Woo-hoo!
Is
thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Nice of them to say. No, and that's always nice to hear from former racers, too, because they really know what we endure, not just physically through the race and mentally, but within our own relationship. And, And it can be a struggle when because of the anxiety and the intensity of the race. So,
and
you know,
they were
hearing,
on two seasons.
That,
they were on 10 and 11 All-Stars. And
yeah, so
Rosie O'Donnell actually had them on her show and gave them a cruise and a home. She gave them the house they live in and all kinds of things because Rosie O'Donnell just fell in love with them. And so, you know, they really got a lot from the Amazing Race, and they are so down to earth, just wonderful people. And they have a great event every year in Kentucky for children with autism. And yes, it's just beautiful. My husband and I have attended 2 years in a row now, and it's just an amazing event. It's kind of run like the Amazing Race through Louisville, Kentucky, and it's called the Urban Stampede, and it's just the most fun event to go to. So I can send you guys some information if you're interested, but it's just so much fun, and they do it every year.
Yes, we love that.
But they,
well, I totally
they did.
Forgive
they really were
them
pulling
not for
pulling
for you. To, hey, Cherry, you were at the Toys of Todd event. I actually passed along Miss Amy and Jason the information about Toys for Tots, but obviously I didn't know that they won the entire thing, so they were super busy like standing in
now
front of like the state house the state house Christmas tree, finally not a holiday tree, the Christmas tree, and they had stuff to do, and I was like, oh my god, everything made sense after everything that I had sent them messages.
I was so
I wanted to yell at them, and I was like, I can't even be mad because I would have done the same. Like, she was so like, we'll try to be there, we'll try to make it.
Aww.
I didn't realize she won, so she had to like be the hostess.
Yeah, we
of
had,
the most
yeah we had
Amy.
The cast fly in, like they were here, so it was so tough.
Yeah,
that entire weekend was nuts.
Ugh. God,
I
you
can only
like,
imagine.
I was like, how come you can't come? Why? And, like, obviously, she was, like, the hostess with the mostest. But we totally missed you up there. We hope that you guys can come up next year. It was such
absolutely
a great event.
The
and
Toys for Tots event
were
is one of the most amazing ever.
Cherry, we were trying to get a group to come down because there was snow going on. There was, like, the snow thing that was going on in the Midwest, so everybody was kind of snowed in. And I was trying to convince people to actually drive down to Providence, which even I wasn't going to make it for. So I figured out that that was bad. But to make it down for that Sunday to watch them, and I'm, like, hoping, like, the football game would go like late, please, 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 and it didn't. And I was like, all right, they're not going to make it. But finally, they're all going to be able to make it to these events because I know Amy and Jason are all about doing these different events. We did Toys for Tots, which I told Amy about, which was a success the sixth year. So I hope you guys
huge
are able
success
to make it to the seventh year. No excuses, Miss Amy. You can't be like,
no,
I'm the
none
winner of like Amazing Race and like what?
Yeah.
No, 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 no more. Unless for some crazy reason we're back on the race.
If you're back on there, well, that's a different
now, that'll
reason.
That'll be a legitimate excuse. But we talk about winners from Rhode Island. The Survivor winner, Richard Hatch, was there, and I think he said he's coming back next year, right, Cherry?
I'm hoping so. I think he is going to be back, and it was really impressive to meet him. He is quite the interesting guy.
He's
so
a reality show starter. I mean,
yes,
he's paying taxes.
The
Amy
grandfather
and Jason
of them
have
all
advised their tax people to do. So.
Would you like to take a call from one of our listeners?
Let's do it. Do you guys mind taking a call, Jason and Amy?
No, not at all.
All right, let's
okay
do it. Let's pick up a caller.
Okay, we have Frank. Frank, thank you so much for calling in tonight. How are you?
What's up, everybody? How are you?
Wonderful.
What,
you're on with
fantastic
Jason,
Frank,
Amy, and Michelle.
Hello.
Hello.
Where
you
are you calling
Jason
from?
Jason and Amy, and what is your question?
Hey, your mom still got worms crawling out her pussy?
Boy, that connection is pretty bad.
I'm sorry. We can't hear you. Can you
speak
into the phone better?
That one's gone.
Yep. I do have a question, but I think there was a chat question too, wasn't there, Cherry? Yeah, it was a ways back. I was hoping you wrote it down. But my question is, first of all, major props to Amy up in Alaska from the bush plane, hitting it on her second try.
Yeah.
And
oh, my God, that was awesome.
Oh, my God. I just have to know, because it seemed like that gained you so much time on the people behind you. But then we saw with the editing at the totem pole that where you had to remember the currency, and the one thing you didn't write down, how close did it get? Because I always wonder about that.
Well, the drop definitely gained us a lead. We never really knew. We flew through the glacier cast right after the airplane because the helicopters were above us, and that's how we were transported from where the planes were to the actual glacier that we had to, like, walk through and do everything else on. So because the helicopters were everywhere, we felt like the other teams were right behind us, so we never stopped at all. Once we got to the totem poles, even in the editing, you can actually see that Jason and I, when we got our clue, When Tim and Marie got there, Jason and I were already halfway done, or more than halfway done. And then when we got our clue, you can actually see the screen. They show all three totem poles for like a split second, and you see Tim and Marie are still not, they're around halfway done, and Travis and Nicole don't even have one up just yet. So that whole task just took us about an hour and a half or so. So we definitely made it to the finish line about an hour after, before Tim and Marie, and then another couple hours before Travis and Nicole.
So wait, so you guys actually were ahead about an hour and a half?
And definitely an hour ahead of Tim and Marie, yes.
Yeah, the editing doesn't show that, but we gained a considerable lead in when Amy nailed that bullseye. But when we watched the show back, you know, we felt like we did really well across the glacier, like Amy said, and some of the old teams maybe struggled a little bit where we may have gained some more ground. And I still think that we did that totem pole challenge really quick. I mean, our performance was never hindered by fatigue or by any mistakes. We were very, very consistent and focused on what we were doing, and we never slowed down for a second during that final leg.
And during the totem poles, even though I hadn't written down the currency, none of us were allowed to bring any notes with us to that challenge. So it didn't matter whether we had written them down or not. It was a memory challenge. It was we had to remember where we were and everything else.
So was it something you thought of, like when you were going through it, were you like, okay, we need to think about that?
No, it wasn't, but we had used the currency so much that I knew all of the currency with the exception of the United Arab Emirates. And which we didn't use a lot because if you remember back those episodes, we got, for one of the legs that we were there, we got $1 for that leg of the race. So we never used the currency while we were there. And what we did at that point is that we used the totem poles and used them as puzzles because if you watch the episode again, you could tell that they were color-coordinated and they would match one on top of the other. So the pesos is easy for me. My family's from the Dominican Republic, so we all use pesos in Latin America. The euros were easy. The zlotys, actually, the crowns, well, I call them crowns because it was like a play on words with pageants, but the crowns we remembered. The zlotys I remembered. And then in Indonesia, I remembered because their currency was very familiar, is very similar to the rupees in India, and I've been to India several times. So the only one that I had an issue with was the United Arab Emirates, and other than that, everything else wasn't very difficult. It was actually more difficult to put them together with the color coordinations and then the actual puzzle itself, but the words were coming to me.
I have to ask about putting them together because it seemed like there was several fingers in between those. Did you get yours smashed, Jason?
A number of times.
Probably.
And, you know, that was probably it doesn't really show this, but that was one of the most tougher challenges that we've come across. Not just because how physical it was, but because there was that mental aspect to it. So it wasn't just jumping off a bridge and, you know, swimming to a boat, you know, where it's just more of a physical fear challenge. It was putting together those totem poles that were heavy. It was, I had to hold them up while Amy got the next one ready to slide underneath, and they went up about 30 feet. So holding all that up was pretty intense, and I struggled with it towards the end, and we were just able to really focus and get it done pretty quick. I thought we did very well there.
So
it looked rather painful.
With the editing, it didn't take very long. How long did it actually take real time?
Probably like an hour and a half.
Yeah, we're probably there for about an hour and a half.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wow.
And chisel down into a few minutes.
Yeah, each of those pieces weighed at least 7 pounds. And then you have to stack up at least 7 of them. So by the time you get to the bottom of it and then you have to do 11 of them, then it adds up. You have to first figure out how they're going to go. You first solve the puzzle, and then you actually put the puzzle together, because you can't just start putting pieces up without knowing where they're all going to go aligned.
That's
now, did you guys
physical.
Get nervous? Because I know, like, you guys had to split up. Like, you guys had to do a certain amount of challenges, right? What was the underlying number that you and Jason had to do? Was it even, or was it an uneven amount that you had to do?
It was 6 and 6. 6 challenges each going into the final leg.
So did you guys sit back and go, oh, my God, maybe you should have did this, or I should have did that? Did that ever come up, or was it just, okay, you do this, you do that, we know that this is where it's supposed to be? Because it must get hard towards the end.
No, for the most part, we knew we felt very comfortable in our decisions when we chose who was going to do the roadblocks, because it depended on what countries we were in. So we knew that going into Latin America, we had decided that I was probably going to do the most roadblocks during that time, because if I had to communicate with any of the locals, then I'd be able to do that. And then you can kind of tell what it is that you're going to do. For us, one of our strategies was as we were going to our next destination, when we were in taxis, we asked the cab drivers what type of place was it, what is done in those locations, and that kind of stuff. So when we got to the Vienna Choir Boy challenge, we already knew that it was going to be a singing challenge. So because I have a music background, I knew I was going to do that. And the same thing when we were in Indonesia with the Angkong, we had asked the taxi driver, oh, but what do they do there? And he said, oh, it's music instruments, da-da-da-da. So we felt that it would have had something to do with music. And the same thing when we were in Al Ain, when we got to the racetrack, we knew that it had to do with cars. So it only made sense for Jason to do it, even though they kind of threw in a little heights challenge with it. But you kind of know where you are and what you're going to do. And of course, the clues are somewhat misleading. I don't think there were any of the challenges that we chose to do that we felt, oh, I wish I had done it. Maybe with the exception of Norway, I could have jumped off the bridge and swam. And Jay could have done the donuts in Poland, because he has longer legs, so he probably would have been able to get up and down the stairs a little quicker than I was, because I was also in that big dress from the polka dance. But other than that, I think we were both very comfortable with our decisions throughout the race.
Well, I think it's smart, because like you said, you asked the taxi driver, hey, what does this entail? What does this involve? Where probably other people weren't thinking that. Some of them were just trying to get to their destination. As we saw, a lot of taxi drivers were involved in a lot of problems, which that's not in your
control.
I should say, yeah. So the fact that you guys figured that out, that probably helped out. But at the same time, it was probably nerve-wracking, because if you figured out, okay, this is what this person's going to do, and then you're like, oh, I could have done it better, that could have caused a rift. But you can only do 6 and 6. It's like, you can only do that. So did it become frustrating? Because I feel like I would have just been frustrated the entire time. I couldn't do anything. I would want to do everything. That's me. I want to do everything so I'm in control. Oh, and I know Amy probably the same way.
Yes, I am, but...
how did I guess?
You know, I got... Wait, let's just put it this way. I got the first roadblock, and I got the last one, so...
Ooh.
I'm curious about... well, there's a couple of things. One of the early on when I was really rooting for you was when you made up the time fast forward. How windy was it up there?
Oh, my gosh.
Hurricane force.
So windy.
I mean, we were, I think, 800 feet high, I want to say, up in the air. And, you know, in Vienna, there's obviously mountains and hills all around you. And we didn't feel that kind of wind when we were down in the city. And it was a beautiful day. So
we were in shorts and T-shirts that day.
When the challenge said weather pending, we didn't really think wind was a factor. And even if it was a factor, it didn't seem to be super windy. But when we got up there, yeah, that wind was blowing pretty consistently. And, you know, I didn't really want to jump 800 feet off of the tower into the ground anyway. So it was a good decision to leave. But making up that time was, we thought we were out of the race. You know, when you're an hour behind and there's only six teams left in the race, I mean, that's a detrimental point. And I think that shows how strong Amy and I were as a team together to be able to come back from an hour behind all the other teams and still make a fifth-place finish, even after our cab was stolen by Tim and Marie. And,
well,
you know,
we don't know that watching, Jason. And I was screaming at the TV like a maniac, okay? I was like, no, wind, stop. And I'm thinking I had something to do with the wind because I was screaming so loud that the wind was coming towards you guys.
You might have.
You know, it's so crazy that, you know, I've known Amy. We've been doing this for years, and we've been doing a thing, and just said it like a lot of people ask me, have me and Amy sat down and talked about being on reality shows? And Amy, let's just tell everybody, no, we haven't. I don't think me and Amy have ever sat down before this and talked about it. I mean, I was like the person that was, and I was really kind of quiet about it technically, which you guys are probably surprised of, but I always said, I was like, Amy, I can't believe I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't stop talking to her. Amy, like, what is your whole revelation of, like, being involved in what you were and getting kind of, like, a little taste of what I had? I mean, you understand why sometimes I'm a little subdued now? Do you understand being a little subdued? Being involved in the limelight, it's like you kind of just want to be out of it sometimes.
I absolutely understand. Like, for me, even when people meet me and then they later find out, oh, you were Miss Rhode Island, I know that they didn't find out because I told them. They found out because probably someone else told them, and that's the way that I've always been. And it's not so much, I just feel really weird talking about myself that way. Like, if it has no relevance, then why even bring it up? Like, it doesn't make a difference to me. Yes, it was an amazing experience, but it doesn't define me. And sometimes I feel a little uncomfortable when people do that. And even till this day, they're like, oh, you're Miss Rhode Island. And I usually wait a second and I'm like, no, how do you know that? Who told you that? And I'd rather kind of lie in a funny way, but not obviously they know that I'm joking out, like after I say that, than say, oh, yes, I was Miss Rhode Island. Like, it's just, to me, it just sounds really silly. And now the Amazing Race, it's like, oh, you were in the Amazing Race. And it's like, oh, well, if you watched it, you already know. I'm asking me. I'm not going to sit here and talk, like, introduce myself as, hey, I'm Amy from the Amazing Race. Like, that's
but at the same time, I mean, you know, life is about goals and accomplishments. And, you know, I feel for us, this is a great accomplishment. And I love talking about
it. Of course it,
and
it is.
People come up to us and ask us about the race. What was your experience like? I mean, and that's fun for me. I mean, Amy's, maybe she gets frustrated because that's been her whole life has been like that. But for me, being new to it, maybe it's a little bit different. Like when you were on Big Brother, was it different because you had never experienced that before?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with the whole Amy thing, and I understand your side of it. That's why I keep asking you questions, Jason, because I've been with the modeling thing and the pageant thing, and I did all that. And then being on Big Brother, it's like, people think I'm like a different person, but I'm the same person I've always been, if not better. I think I'm a better person. And people seem to not pick those points out that I've bettered myself. They always want to talk about other things, where for you, Jason, I think that this is like an experience that's amazing. I mean, you're like, oh my God, this is awesome. But being in Amy's aspect, like she's have to dealt with, not that it's been negative, but it's always kind of being, you know, put in this limelight. So I think it's kind of cool that you actually get to experience that. For me, I think it's great. And I think for Amy, it's great that you are there to see the different sides of it. It's like you never stop. I mean, pictures, cheese, hi, there, yay. You know, it's like, you know, you're always cheesing. And the funniest thing is like Amy looks at Jason and goes, smile stronger, smile, like, smile more amazing. And he's smiling to like the most he can ever smile. And it's like, you need to smile more. Like, that's just like how we are. We're like a robot. And for me to see Jason, it's like he's experienced both sides of it. Like, he's been there before and after. So for him to understand it, I think it's crazy. It's like awesome, right, Jason?
No, it's been a really rewarding experience. I've enjoyed it.
And I think it grows you guys to grow stronger because you actually understand where she's like, okay, time for a picture. I know you don't want to, Jason. You just got finished eating. It's time to take that broccoli out of the teeth. Let's smile, right? Because Amy is always like, she's like drop dead gorgeous, you guys.
Oh,
and listen, she's probably going to sell this bun thing to the end, but go ahead, Amy. I know you want to talk about the bun.
Not
you looked amazing
button.
In the bun all season, girl.
The easy bun?
Yes, the easy button.
The easy button. The easy button. It's like the stapled easy button. It just made everything so simple for me. I never had to worry about what I looked like.
And people don't know what we're talking about, but we get to roll our hair in a bun, and it looks perfect and looks elegant. And Amy just kept telling me, Michelle, I get to wear my easy bun. The bun is the bun, the bun, the bun. Right, Amy?
Oh, yeah. It's just, it really did make, it made for getting ready a lot. Last time, it was windproof, it was waterproof, it was everything proof, it was race proof, so it was perfect.
Yes. Jason, what did you think about the bun? Were you like, Amy, just put the bun on and let's go, we got a race to run?
Well, if I had to wait for Amy to do our hair every morning, we probably would have been out of the race a lot earlier. But, to wash and dry her hair takes a good... You know, all girls, I mean, she's got naturally long, I mean, she's never, her hair is like
she
her best friend.
She has such long hair, yeah.
So it's like her baby. And so,
beautiful. When
God
I was trying to pick
bun.
Out pictures, for the show, I mean, there's so many beautiful pictures of her out there. And I was like, oh my gosh, which pictures do I pick? Because there's so many beautiful pictures of you out there, Amy. You're just so beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, I've got a race question for you guys. Were you involved in that trio of cabs in Japan? And what was that about? That the guy would not leave without the other cabbies.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah, we were involved in that. We were the first ones out of the airport to get a cab, and you know, we had told them three cabs. We needed three cabs because our strategy was to kind of stick together to get the animals out. Well, lo and behold, there was only two cabs there, and that worked probably, in hindsight, wasn't the right move to tell the guys three cabs because they wanted to wait for that third cab to arrive no matter what, even though after we were trying to explain, no, we're individual teams and we want to get going, we don't want to stick together. I guess it's their culture in Japan to work together as a team as well, so they, you know, that sense of brotherhood that they have is important to them, and when we stress three and you have everybody kind of waiting around, they waited for the three cabs, and you know, it actually worked out pretty good because we stumbled upon that the roadblock where we had to do the challenge where Amy was in the foam booth filled with water.
Foam booth.
And only two, yeah, that's right. The dunk booth.
The goldfish foam
yeah,
booth.
It was goldfish.
It can't, I can't believe it's goldfish.
Yeah, that's what I was on the soup for. Right, there you go. But, you know, to our advantage, only two teams could have done that challenge anyway. So it, it was sort of forced Tim and Marie to kind of go look for the other challenge, which, you know, cost them a little bit of time and set them back a little ways. So that kind of worked to our advantage. And that's the thing about the Amazing Race. You never know what's a good move and necessarily what's a bad move, because something you think is a really strategic good move could end up working against you later on that leg. But, no, it was frustrating at the time in Japan with cabs. And Japan is such a busy place. The traffic was awful.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, here's another props out to Amy. I've seen many Amazing Race seasons where you have to repeat something that somebody tells you. And unless it was edited, you once you got a good amount of breath and went down and listened to that message, you got it right the first time. So
yeah, that was the key. The key was getting enough breath, because you can kind of sort of see it. When Travis and I changed, we actually ran over to the to the booth. But before that, I actually had to use the restroom really, 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 really bad. yeah. Restroom breaks never really make the show unless you get eliminated like the sisters did back in season, what was it, 17? You know, I had to run to the bathroom. I ran to the bathroom, and I ran back to the booth. So by the time I got to the booth, I was completely out of breath. So it
yeah, but don't you know that they can't tell if you went to the bathroom if in a
goldfish
telephone booth?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, come on, Amy.
You know, we're not drinking a lot of water. We're dehydrated. You never know what color it's going to be.
It's not like a real pool. You're not going to have a trail behind you if you go pee-pee in the bathroom.
Like right in the phone booth. That would have been something else. But anyway, so I definitely had to catch my breath before I went down. And the most difficult part of that challenge wasn't so much the message. It was dialing the phone number. That phone number was forever long. It had like 10 area codes and then like another 20 numbers. It was the longest phone number in the world. So you're sitting there. You have to go down. You have to down the number. So you have to keep your eyes open. Your paper is moving around, so you can't really see the numbers. You're dialing the number, trying to stay underwater, and then you have to wait for the phone to ring and then for the person on the other end to pick up and the message plays.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was a crazy but cool competition, because anything could have happened at that point. I mean, there was a lot going on with it, and we didn't see all what you said. I mean, we just saw you going down once, but you're saying you had to go down for multiple numbers? Is that what you said?
Oh, no. The phone number, they had given us the phone number in our clue. So I wrote down the phone number, and I brought the phone number down with me. So it's not like you just had to pick up the phone and listen to a message. You actually picked up the phone, and then you see us dialing something, but I don't think they actually showed the phone number because it was really, really long. So as you go, like when I went down, I had to dial this number and wait there until someone answered with the message. But the phone number was the longest part. So when you're underwater holding your breath, think of how long it takes you to just dial a number right now on your phone. And then how long can you usually hold your breath for underwater? And
I have to go in the contacts, and then I got to look under A, and then I got to look under B. Like, that's a lot of time.
Yeah.
I don't got
so
that much time.
So unless you know a phone number by heart, you still have to, like, look at the paper, dial a number, look at the paper, dial, and whatever it is. And your adrenaline is pumping. You're out of breath. You have to wait. You don't know how long the message is going to actually be. So you're trying to stay as calm as you can, and it's hard to do.
And
how hard
is it cheering? Was it clear enough when he finally answered?
Oh, incredibly clear. So clear.
Okay.
It was crazy. It was like, how is this phone really working out of the water? It doesn't make sense.
That was so creepy. That was the creepiest one because, I mean, being underwater is one thing, and then having to stay there and listen to that, I mean, that was creepy.
Yeah. And then having us in little Speedo with fish... hats on.
I think the Speedo was fantastic. I'll vote for the Speedo. And
on
that's
Travis
about
or
it.
On me?
On you.
The other one that was kind of creepy is where all the guys had to get dressed up like geisha women, like geisha brides. How did you enjoy that, Jason?
Oh, my gosh. Jason. I'm sorry, but Jason, you were so pretty.
Yeah, that was my best dressing moment I've ever had. And I'm so happy.
Jason's hating me right now.
He's so glad we brought it up right now.
Yeah.
Jason, talk about that moment.
Isn't this the end of the interview?
No, this is just the beginning, babe.
Right,
listen, we're gonna have like a 10-minute interview just about this. This is just like the breaking point of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Luckily, I've been around all you pageant ladies and the modeling that I was used to seeing that display of makeup that I had to put on Amy. But I wasn't as worried about it being applied to me as I was to applying it to Amy. I knew Amy was going to do a fantastic job putting my makeup on, but I was really nervous about making her look as good as she does. So that was the fear of me. I've never applied makeup on anybody before in my life. But wearing it as well was a little nerve-wracking for me. It was sort of an embarrassing moment.
Well,
but
I know who we're
fun.
Calling for next year's whatever charity event we're doing. You're going to be the makeup artist.
Yeah.
And you can do my makeup. I will let you do my makeup. How's that? I never let anybody do my makeup.
I didn't even have to do too much because when we showed up there, Amy's makeup was on and she looked flawless anyway. So I applied a little eyeliner, some blush.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Good answer.
We got the edited part, but that seemed to take a long time. How long did that take you guys?
That actually took... I think that was definitely the longest challenge of the whole season. That must have taken at least 2 hours. And actually, it may have even taken three because you can actually see when the Afghanimals switch detours and they go over there, they say... They've been going at this for 2 hours and they're still not done. And that's why they leave again, because they realized how long it was going to take them if they wanted to start at that point. So we were still not done when they came by. So when they went back to the other detour, we were probably like two-thirds done, and that was at least 2 hours. So, yeah, it may have taken probably around 3 hours to complete. Because
A couple of those guys had to shave their beards, too. I'm sure they weren't happy about that.
Yeah. No, but that's why they left.
Yeah,
you didn't have anything to shave off, did you, Jay? Nothing.
No, I had a clean shave that morning.
No soul patch, nothing.
No, I was looking crisp.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
The other one that was really funny was the Camel Beauty Pageant.
Oh gosh.
Oh my gosh, that was pretty funny actually.
I ripped open the clue, and I got so excited because it said beauty contest. You have no idea how excited I was. I was like, there's no way. That
I can't even imagine, Amy. Tell us.
I was over the moon. I was like, we are definitely winning this challenge. We're winning this flag. And then, of course, Travis and Nicole had the express pass, so they completely skipped the entire challenge. So it didn't make a difference whether we actually finished fastest than anyone else. But I was... so happy. And then when we got there and we saw it was a camel, I had a moment. I literally had a Scooby-Doo moment. I was so shocked.
Oh, my God. So was it not even close to pageant makeup putting on?
No,
I mean,
were they difficult models,
Amy?
Oh,
would you just block them from the runway?
They absolutely. I would never, ever, ever work with a camel. I would never hire a camel to walk on any show. Like, it's never going to happen.
I wouldn't recommend them for the autism walk.
Oh, okay. So you heard it first here. There's not going to be any camels going on.
No
camels. No. They're uncooperative.
Very unruly. They're just, they don't like hair. They don't like hairspray. They don't like any of it. And they like to roll around in mud or their skin. That's what they do to me.
That's so funny.
I definitely, before we do have a caller, but I need to get this question in, and
I think you will forever be known by this, Jason. When you were in Alaska at the airport and hailed a taxi, what did you say to that taxi driver?
I believe I asked her if she spoke English.
Oh, my God, Jason.
And
what do you think
was,
she spoke, Alaskan?
Her response was my whole life.
Well, it's funny. What's interesting about that is that you're on the race, and by that point, it was we had been running for 24 days.
Yep.
Completely exhausted. Every time we get in a taxi, the first question we ask is, do you speak English, regardless of where we were? Because you never know if they did or they didn't. So that was actually one of the most important things for us, because that was the only way we were going to get to our destination. So when Jason
by then it
got
was
out
habit.
Of the plane,
I think it was more of a reflex after, you know, running the race.
Like
Amy said.
We're going to call it a reflex, Jason.
Yeah, there was definitely something that we're used to asking. We asked quite a bit if people spoke English.
And were they offended would be the next question.
No, I think she just kind of looked at me and then she laughed. Her response was, yeah, my whole life. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're in the United States. So to my defense, and I will say this, is that in a lot of previous seasons, people come back to the United States and actually get cabs that don't speak very good English.
Yeah.
And
so
you
brought it out to the front street.
Yeah,
Jason.
They assume that everybody in the United States speaks perfect English and knows every historical landmark, and that's not necessarily the case. So.
You got to speak Alaskan. So yeah. Alaskan. How was that for the first time?
It was cold.
It was identical to English, so I felt comfortable.
So question, how was Alaska? Was it gorgeous or what?
I think Alaska for me was probably one of my favorite legs. Maybe it's between
like
that
Portugal,
and
right, Jason?
Lisbon.
Right,
I mean,
Jason? Portugal? Portugal is number one, right, Portugal?
Yeah, Portugal is definitely up there. Sure.
I'm not trying to throw Portugal out there, but I'm just saying Portugal is beautiful, right?
It was beautiful. That ranks in the top one or two, so between that and Alaska. But Alaska was one of them real remote destinations that we got an experience to, you know, walk on that glacier, which is probably something you would never really book a vacation to go do. It was very adventurous, and to have the opportunity to do that, see that, you know, that glacier from our perspective, landing on it in a helicopter, you know, rappelling down a crevasse, being able to walk through an ice tunnel with, you know, flowing water that was bright, bright blue. It was an incredible scenery. Yeah,
sounds pretty romantic to me. That sounds romantical.
I've been giving many props to Amy, but at this point when we're talking Alaska, I got to get major props to Nicole pulling herself up with that one ice pick. Did you guys know about that before you watched the episode?
No, we didn't. Well, you know, we've never seen the episodes. What teams decide to choose to share with other teams, because we don't all run the race at the same time. We're at certain places at different times, so we're not all together. We never knew of what a lot of other teams did until we actually watched it with the rest of America.
Wow. That's incredible. So I'm
so
sure
did
that
work
was,
out?
That
was
how an
did
amazing
that work out watching
finale event for you.
Cherry, imagine watching, you know, us battling Amazing Race. How is it like watching people that you're friends with or, you know, watching it when it happens? How was that? Because being on Big Brother, I don't come out of the house and watch it. It already happens. But you guys are out. So that must be hard to acclimate to people that are, like, you know, somehow being a part of being your enemy, per se, as Tim and Marie were, and you guys being so close. How was it being able to adapt to that?
You mean to watching the race with them?
Yeah, like watching them talk about you and then being interactive with them. I mean, you know, it's reality TV, but I'm sure it should have been at the same time like, hey, why are you saying that?
I mean, I think maybe some teams, when some contestants on reality shows will take that really personally. But when you're in that moment in time, I mean, it's not a personal vendetta. It's a you know, it's a competition. And if you can realize that and you understand that, then you don't hold it against them. And
I got a lot to work on, man.
Yeah. Maybe in Big Brother.
We gotta have a talk. I need to be like brought down to my next level because like it's different with Big Brother, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, that show is more of a mind game than anything else. And the Amazing Race, it's more we're competing against ourselves at the end of the day. We're not necessarily competing against the other teams because the faster that we get through those challenges, the better our placement. So no matter where those other teams are, we know if we perform well, we will place well. So it's really a race against ourselves, and working as a team was more of our focus than really, okay, how good are the other teams or where are the other teams at, as opposed to a Survivor or Big Brother, where you have to play that manipulative, you know, mindset, and you have to create strong alliances and maybe have some weak alliances and play
Jason,
people
could
like
you
that.
Do that? Jason, could you do that? Wait, Jason, are your dogs going crazy? Whose dog's going crazy right now?
I don't know. Not ours.
Oh, okay. Like, could you do Big Brother? Could you do Survivor looking back and seeing, like, okay, I was in a reality show, I understand, okay, I get it, and then looking back on it, do you think that you could do Big Brother? I mean, it's such a mind blowing type of game where you have to live with these people that you race against. Technically, that's what I got to do. It's such a different backstream, but would you be up for it?
I think we would be up for it. It would certainly be a different approach. You know, it's still a completely different experience. Yeah, I'd love to do Survivor. I think Survivor is it's a great show.
I love how Big Brother isn't involved.
I think our personalities would probably do better in Survivor than in Big Brother because like I would just snap and probably kill someone. And Jason is way too friendly.
He would be good. He would win. He'd be the Florida that won.
yeah, probably. I think that for us, it needs to be more physical than mental, and that's why I think we did well in the race and why we would probably do well as Survivor. So,
well,
just that physicality.
I was just going to say that I think that you guys are such a fantastic part of CBS and part of the reality family. You guys did such a great job, and God, as many times you guys got close to that second place, did you guys ever think, oh, my God, did you guys get frustrated and say, oh, we're not going to make it, oh, we're not going to make it, or where you would be the New England way and say, second place is exactly where we want to be. Don't cook my fishes yet because
exactly.
We're going to get
that
you.
That was very much the mentality. You know, when you look, when you think back on our race and you look at all our second place finishes, Lisbon, we came in second place because we were in first place going to the pit stop, and then we made that turn, and we missed out on first place by a couple of minutes on behind Travis and Nicole. But we finished the leg before they did. We just got to the pit stop after them. So in our minds, that was the first place that we lost ourselves. We weren't beaten. We just lost it. And then you think of second place in Portugal. We lost by seconds. It was like, in Poland. We lost by seconds behind an express pass. So Tim and Marie used their express pass, skipped an entire challenge, and we lost to them by like 7 seconds. We ran up to the pass, to the pit stop at the same time. So that to us is another first place that we weren't beaten in that race. Someone just skipped a complete challenge, which had they completed the challenge, they probably would have been further behind, but that's why they used the express pass. And then you take second place in Al Ain when we were doing the race cars, you know, it just happened. That is a legitimate second place because the boys finished that before we did. And then you take second place in, I don't know, where else did we get second place? Oh, in Norway.
Does second place really matter, Amy? You guys won, girl.
I know it doesn't, but what I'm saying is that the reason why we used it to fuel our fire was because in our minds, we came second place to two express passes, and then another second place, we lost ourselves. We weren't beaten by another team. So when we look at the race, as we were going through the race, we knew how strong we were. Just because that number wasn't one, in our heads, we knew that we were the stronger team than
Amen.
Those that were beating us.
There
so
you go.
Amen. Thank you.
We needed to stay in the race because when the field was evened out and there weren't any more express passes and there weren't any more U-turns and there weren't anything else, that we were going to come on top. And that's exactly what happened when we were in Indonesia and we came in first place and then the finale as well.
Now, did you guys know that the doctors had the speed pass, that they were giving it to them? Did you guys know that?
Yeah, we knew that.
You knew that prior to them saying it out on TV or whatever, I guess you could say.
Yes.
You knew that.
Yes, we knew that. If you look at the bonus clips online, there's a conversation between Nicole and Marie. When Nicole tells Marie, they're having a conversation. The three of us were really close. Jay and I were the only other team that knew that they were giving it to them before they even gave it to them.
Oh, so you guys knew about them getting it. So
yes,
you already
knew
that you had to fight harder than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Michelle, we do have another caller. Would you mind taking a call from a listener?
As long as Amy and Jason don't mind, let's do it.
No, go ahead.
Okay, let's do this. We've got Heather on the phone with us. Heather, thank you so much for calling in. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I want to say happy early birthday to Michelle.
Thank you so much.
And I want to compliment both you and Amy,
Jason,
for
Amy.
Being very active in, well, actually, all three of you, for being very active in autism awareness.
Oh, thank you.
And have a super night.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything that you want to talk more about that or?
No. No, I just think it's cool that there are people who want to see autism awareness.
Aw. Heather's one of our regular listeners.
Well, you know what the thing is? Yeah, but you know what the thing is that me and Amy have been doing this before. Me and Amy were reality people. I mean, like, me and Amy were doing this when Michael Jackson was doing a show at our, well, she knows what I'm talking about, at the autism event. And, I mean, that just means, like, you know, like, people don't understand that. I've been doing this before anything ever happened. I bring light to it, as I always knew Miss Amy would bring light to it, because she's, if you ever meet her, she's just like a doll. I mean, she's awesome. She has so much going for her. She's so smart, and she's so on point. And what people don't realize that we go on these shows and we do these things, but there's things behind the backstage of it. And either you're with her or you're not.
Yeah,
and that's just something that she's been, yeah, no, that's something that Amy has been about, I have been about. So thank you so much for that caller. That was
really,
that was
really
great.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Merry
Christmas to you, babe.
Merry
Christmas.
Bye bye. Merry Christmas.
I love it that this is the pre Christmas party. We have Miss Amy and Miss Jason on. And Mr. Jason, I should say. And,
that's all right.
I know
you're thinking of that Indonesia leg.
No, I'm just so excited because I have been talking about bringing you guys on for, oh, my God, months. And to bring you guys on as the goddamn freaking winners, excuse my language, but hells yeah. Can I get a hells yeah, everybody? Hells yeah.
Hells yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just super excited. You know, for me, as just – human being, to know that I know that money goes to good people and who it belongs to and who it deserves, and I finally know it. I mean, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I saw
this tweet from Amy where she bought her mom, her and her brothers bought her mom a car, and her mom has done everything for her and has done everything for her family. And to have seen that, like, I just, like, I want that for me. I haven't been able to do exactly that. I've tried to, but, oh, my God, it makes me just want to be like, bring me on back, Big Brother. Like, what's wrong with you? I want to win the trashiest reality show ever. Love it. Like, come on. I mean, you know, you got to bring it back to Rhode Island.
I hope that happens for you, Michelle. We need a Big Brother winner from Rhode Island. I have to ask, because I didn't look it up. I'm sure if I did, I could find it. But you guys tied for the most second-place finishes. Who did you tie?
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly who it was. I think it was two other teams that have had sixth-place finishes in past seasons. And they were earlier seasons, too. It wasn't, like, recent seasons. I think it was, like, early teens and, like, somewhere in the single digits.
Wow.
Does it matter? I mean, you guys won the big enchilada. So, how has it been, like, okay, so wait, what do? Did they give you a check at, like, the finale party? How does that happen? Because they need you to be there at the finale. So do you guys get the money beforehand? We want to know.
No, they actually wait until after the finale, and then they mail it to you.
So did you guys spend $1 million the first day? Let's be honest.
No.
Did you guys buy me
not.
A gift for my birthday? I'm a size medium. And depending on where you go, and I love dogs, so if you want to give something to any type of, okay. Anyway, enough about me. Sorry, Trey, stop me. Oh, God.
Sometimes she runs amok.
Sometimes I go crazy when it comes to charities.
Well, normally when you have a Big Brother, past Big Brother person on, you're always getting them to be in alliance with you on All Stars. But with Jason and Amy.
Jason and Amy, I'm going to call them Jamie.
There you go.
Jamie is in alliance with me automatically, correct?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even just be like, will you be final two, final three? They're final to the day I die.
Yeah.
They're Rhode Islanders.
Especially Amy. No offense, Jason, but Amy, I mean, it's so weird to, like, me and her have been in these, like, fashion and all these, like, little things, which to me has been so big. I mean, the little things that we've done to me, like, looking back on it, and I'm like, oh, my God, we did it. We're, like, bringing awareness. We're bringing the point of what I know I've done. And then talking to Amy, me and her did a lot of talking about just different charity events, and her view on things really brought my awareness to the front. She is so big on it. You guys don't know that this is her forefront, right, Amy? Can I say that? Am I okay to say that? Do you want to elaborate
absolutely.
A little bit on that?
Absolutely. It's a great passion. So, yes, I that's exactly how I would describe it.
Wonderful to see the people that when do give back and that are out there, you know, and that we're giving back to the community before they won, you know, and that have that kind of, you know, giving soul about them and aren't just about winning the money for themselves and, you know, throwing it away and, you know, doing ridiculous things with it. You know, it's great to see people who win that share with charities and that give back to the community they live in and do so much for others. That's so heartwarming, and that's why so many people were rooting for you guys, because I think it really shone through on The Amazing Race that you guys were such wonderful people, and
that's why so many people were, you know, pulling for you, because they could see
and
that
deserving
you guys
of
really
it.
Had a great, yeah,
right?
Had a great heart and were really wonderful, wonderful people. And
oh,
that's the kind of people,
yeah,
that,
I mean,
you know, we want to see win. So
absolutely.
Go ahead, Paul.
We got
I know
to see
that
a
you
lot
are such
that.
Huge Amy and Jason fans. So go ahead, Paul.
No, I was just going to say it became evident when you were, Amy, when you were so helpful with Nicole. As much as Jason was probably pulling his hair out at times, but
yeah,
we
could see him actually pulling his hair out, actually.
Yeah.
That was such a heartwarming episode, and to see you, you know, helping her. She was so frustrated and needed your help so badly. And they did cut away and show Jason going, come on, Amy, come on. You know, we got to go. And Amy just stuck right there with Nicole and got her through it, showed her how everything needed to be, got all the pieces laid out for her before she left your side. And, you know, that's just the kind of person you are, Amy, and it was so precious to watch. You know, you just being there for...
Amy!
You guys are going to make me cry.
Oh, gosh. Well, because you are so awesome. I mean, you know, as much as they show things and they don't, they showed exactly the things that they did, though I wish they showed them to the extent to show really probably what
yeah,
you
I'm sure
really
there was
did.
A lot we didn't get to see.
Yeah, there was a lot we didn't see, but, I mean, gosh, you're gonna make freaking Jason scream. Stop helping people. Jason, how much did you, like, were you like, oh, my God, stop doing that we didn't see?
No, not really a lot. I mean, in Indonesia, when she helped Nicole, I think I encouraged her to her a little bit. But, you know, there's a difference between helping and doing the challenge for her either, and I think that's where we may have had a little miscommunication. And when you're that deep in the race, when there's four teams left,
right,
or five teams left, I mean, the pressure's on. And a minute makes a difference. So I think that's more of my perspective where my frustration came in, saying, okay, it's okay to help, and we want Travis and Nicole to go to the final three with us, but not at the cost of us being eliminated. And, you know, Amy felt comfortable that we weren't under a lot of pressure at that time where she could, you know, extend the help for more than a minute or two. And it worked out okay, so I got over it. And, you know, am I happy she did it? Yeah, I'm happy she did it because we love Travis and Nicole. And if we didn't win, we would have been happy if they would have won. So, you know, it all worked out great in every way possible. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, Amy did a great thing. You know, she took it upon herself to help somebody out that was really struggling. And honestly, and no offense to Nicole, but if it wasn't for Amy, she probably would have been out of the race at that point in time because she was really struggling.
Absolutely.
And frustrated,
yeah, right,
during that challenge.
And Jason, you are right. That is a very dangerous time to take even a minute to stop and help somebody because it's crucial at that point.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we were even unfortunate enough early on in the race where our cab had got into a car accident. I don't know if you remember, in Santiago, our cab got into a car accident. And in that time, even if it's 10 minutes, 15, or a half hour, whatever it takes to get through that process, that late in the race on the final, one of the final three legs, our car could just as easy get into a car accident, our cab get into a car accident on the way to the pit stop, and the next thing you know, we're out. So,
right.
I mean,
so much of it is determined by the taxi.
That's why it's the amazing race.
Those darn taxis, I'll tell you, they're like the amazing race recipients. I mean, people don't realize that there's so much more to the amazing race than what meets the eye. And Jason and Amy brought all that to us. And as being as helpful as they were, showing that they can be, at the end, truthful, honest, which, hey, for me, I'm all about it because we can't do that in Big Brother. So I'm like, yeah. you know? And it
well,
just goes to show
know?
That people in New England, you know what? We're not just bad drivers, okay? We allow you to go ahead. I mean, gosh, people put so much pressure on us New Englanders. Jason and Amy, you know, you guys have a lot going on for yourselves. What do you guys have on in the future? And we would love for you guys to come back on Manic Mondays and speak whatever your future endeavors hold you, which you guys probably don't even know that yet. But is there anything you guys want to state and talk about? Any situation, any kind of, I'm sure Amy has
anything
so
you're
much
promoting?
In her sleeve. Yeah.
We're just kind of taking it one day at a time, you know. If another opportunity presents itself, such as the Amazing Race or anything else, then, of course, we're going to take a look at it. In the meantime, you know, it's snow season, and Jason and his company and everybody, his entire team, has been working really hard. So hopefully there's still a lot of snow this winter so that we can
as long as Jason
busy.
Comes and plows my driveway, I'm happy with the snow, Amy. Don't even play, girl. Like, don't bring that snow thing like, hey, happy snow. No, it's not happy until Jason comes and plows my driveway.
You need to move to Minnesota.
Listen,
yeah,
my birthday's
right.
next week. Don't even make me shovel snow, Justin. I mean, Jason.
Hey. Jason, guys, I'm so glad that you came on the show. I hope maybe we can have you back again at some point, maybe next year during our Amazing Race weekly shows. I thank you for staying
awesome.
On with us for so long. I hope you had a good time.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was
so
great
much.
Being on.
And if we get the episode,
thank you,
Amy and
back.
Jason. Merry Christmas to you both. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy new year. And I know 2014 is going to be a wonderful year for you guys.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you, babe.
Thank you
so much for having us.
You guys have a great Christmas and a happy new year. And we all know that the bank account is going to be happy in the new year. So God bless you guys. And I know for a fact that you guys are going to be on the track to a healthy, fulfillful, and bringing on the wealth to everybody else. So God bless you guys.
Thank you so much for coming on
Manic Mondays. God bless.
What a great show, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
I didn't know if you listened to what. I wasn't going to push the marriage thing because we all know we don't want to push them onto the marriage thing. You know what? They're doing good. They have won. They probably are like, oh, my God, what do? We won. Let's not push it.
They'll figure
it
out.
They'll figure it out, and they'll come on Manic Monday and tell us.
That's
right. Yeah.
Well, thank you for such a wonderful Christmas present, Michelle. That was wonderful.
Thank you. And I wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And, yes, my birthday's coming up, and I will be
22.
22, yes. Oh, God. I don't know what
well,
I'm
Merry
doing at
Christmas
22.
And happy birthday to you, Michelle.
Yeah,
well,
have a great time. Have a great time at the game next Sunday, and we'll be talking to you soon. Merry Christmas, Michelle.
Merry Christmas, and thank you guys all, and Paul and Cherry. Happy and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that good stuff, and I adore you guys, and all you guys
you
that are
so much,
out there
Michelle.
That want to send a gift or send a card or whatever for my birthday or Christmas, please send it to the active donation of Michelle's Place for the Reality Rally event. Please go under my name. Don't send me a card. Don't send me a especially not a Target card, because if you're sending me a Target card, I'm going to, like, flag you. send me any type of card or whatever via the donations, and send $1, $2, 50 cents. I don't care, but send it via that link.
Go through Reality Rally site, realityrally.com, and click on Michelle Costa's name and make your donation there.
That's right.
Yes. Let's
well, we
got to
wrap
okay.
her up tonight, Michelle. It's been
wrap it up.
Another...
Like, you should, if you have sexual contact with anybody, wrap it up. This is your, this
we
is your
started
after school special.
All right. After thank you all special. So much for being here. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. We've got a very special clip of Ron to wrap up tonight's show. Michelle, I love and adore you. Merry Christmas to you, to Mama Costa, Papa Costa, and the entire Costa family. Love you, babe. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and Happy Birthday, too. Here's Ron to close tonight's show.
Let me get serious for a second. Christmas to me is more than just, you know, presents and stuff, too. And that's the key of what Christmas is all about, is not, it's the ultimate present. The ultimate presence was that we were given a child, and his name was Jesus Christ. And when you guys think about Christmas, I want you guys to really think about that. You know, that's what Christmas means to me, guys. And I wanted to close off the show with a song to get us in the mood for the actual meaning of Christmas. It talks about how, you know, we forget that it's all about Christ. And I want to finish off, like I said, with this song. It's called We Are the Reason.
As the years went by, we learned more about gifts, giving of ourselves, and what that means. On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain, because of love, because of
So thank you, guys. Merry Christmas. Love you.
Love you, Ron. Miss you so much. Merry Christmas to everyone, all of our listeners. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Merry Christmas, Paul. Merry Christmas, Michelle.
Merry Christmas, Cherry. Merry Christmas, Michelle. And Merry Christmas to you, Ron.
Merry Christmas, Ron. God bless everyone. Be kind to each other.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.